B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bucks will take the shot clock violation. Celtics will have to inbound one more time. The Bucks tonight answer the bell and do what they've done all year. But the Celtics come to Milwaukee and do what they needed to do, which is to get the split. Back-to-back blowouts. And it's the Bucks tonight who answer big. The final score in Game 2, Milwaukee 123, Boston 102. The best of seven Eastern Conference semifinal is now a best of five. And earplug night at the Garden on Friday.
Did you bring your earplugs, Gasper? You got them?
I did not. No, okay. I did not.
Well, you can bring the earplugs.
Your ears? Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
You got them tucked inside that nice blazer you're
wearing. If they are, they're Gucci.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bucks will take the shot clock violation. Celtics will have to inbound one more time. The Bucks tonight answer the bell and do what they've done all year. But the Celtics come to Milwaukee and do what they needed to do, which is to get the split. Back-to-back blowouts, and it's the Bucks tonight who answer big. The final score in Game 2, Milwaukee 123, Boston 102. The best of seven Eastern Conference semifinal is now a best of five, and earplug night at the Garden on Friday.
Did you bring your earplugs, Gasper? You got them?
I did not. No, okay. I did not.
Well, you can bring the earplugs.
Your ears? Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go.
You got them tucked inside that nice blazer you're
wearing. If they are, they're Gucci.
did you hit Saks on the way in or what?
I did not. No, I've had this for a while, Maz.
Either way, no matter what he's wearing, Gasper's ears will be exposed tonight as he covers the Bucks and the Celtics again here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Agenda Free Friday here is brought to you and driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Gasper, your thoughts on the Celtics coming back in to the Garden and Boston here against the Bucks? I feel there's a lot of confidence out there in Celtic Nation. I think there should be. I think the Celts have this. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't.
I mean, do you feel that way?
No, I mean, I don't even think the series has really started yet. I mean, if you're the Celtics, you have to feel good about taking that game on the road. But each team blew the other one out when the opposition had a game that was uncharacteristic. Like, we haven't seen what it looks like when both teams bring it. And there's actual pressure late in the game. Who executes? Who folds? Who starts bickering with each other? Who starts resenting people taking pressure shots?
Do you still think this is on the table for the Celtics?
I totally do. Because it was all sunshine and rainbows. They were 5-0 in the playoffs. Now they lost. Kyrie had an exceptionally bad game, the worst game he's ever had in the playoffs. The only other time he's been under double digits was against the Bulls some years back, and he was hurt. He played like 12 minutes in that game, so that doesn't even count. And so now there's pressure on him to produce. The Jackie McMullen story, you know, came out today, which I thought was a really good story. And basically, while there weren't bombshells in it, confirmed the idea that everybody around the team sort of was walking on eggshells all year long as Kyrie tried to find the right mood and message for leadership. So again, I mean, if they get in a situation tonight where it's tight in the fourth quarter and they're not making the right plays and they're in jeopardy of giving back the sort of the home court advantage there on their home floor, I just want to see what it looks like, because I think this team all year long has been easily daunted by adversity. And they haven't faced any real adversity yet in the playoffs.
Sing it, Chris.
I mean, Maz is beaming over here.
Sing it, because he's right. So, again, let me give you the good analogy. Let's say that tonight Milwaukee wins. The Celtics will be in the same spot that the Bruins were in Columbus, right? Except the Celtics will be home.
Big difference.
They'll be down 2-1, okay, but they'll be home. Do you have confidence that they'll respond the way the Bruins did?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
I don't because
at
they
home
didn't...
they're not going to lose two of them.
Okay, but you yourself said a little while ago the Bruins have been resilient all year.
I just think we've collectively overrated this Bucks team.
I don't think
it's about the Bucks.
And me too. I don't believe in the opponent. I don't think they're ready yet. And it's so different, Maz, with the home court in the
sure
NBA versus hockey. I mean,
sure it
really, the home ice really doesn't matter. And basketball, it's almost everything. You know?
I'm just telling you that the Bruins have lost control of a series now four or five times, right? And they've been able to fight their way back in and get control again, or at least some control again. The Celtics haven't lost control of anything yet this postseason. And at some point, in theory, they should or will, because nobody just romps to the title unless it's Golden State. Let's see what happens when that happens.
So I agree that if the Celtics start hating each other again, yes, that's the opening for the Bucks. I agree with that. Let me ask you, Chris. All things being equal, each team plays at its best.
Yeah.
Who's better? Who should win?
The Celtics. They have more depth, and they have more options to score the basketball.
More talent.
Yeah, they have more talent. They do. They have more margin for error, particularly with Brogdon out. He's out again for Game 3. And I say that not just because Brogdon's a good player, but because he's played very well against the Celtics. And so the Bucks have a couple of guys who've done that. Middleton's another guy who obviously has played well against the Celtics in the past. So taking Brogdon out of there makes a big difference. But the Celtics, if they reach their potential, I mean, this goes back to what we said at the beginning of the year. I mean, I can even watch that other series with Toronto and Philadelphia. The Celtics' best is better than anybody else's best in the East. We just haven't seen it, not consistently. So if they're going to reach that level, then you have to say that they're the favorite. But I'm not confident that they're going to reach that level.
How do you feel?
I need to see it.
How do you feel about the Bucks?
I think the Bucks are a very good team, and if they had Brogdon, I think that for the full series, I think they'd win the series with Brogdon and home court. I think Brogdon's absence is huge. I thought he'd be back by now. I really thought he'd be back for Game 2. Now he's missing the first three games of the series. You know, that's a big loss for them because they don't have a lot of guys who can create their own shot, right? A lot of their guys are guys who are going to have to shoot off of what Giannis does and the defensive attention that he draws. Obviously, that worked in Game 2. Middleton can get his own shot. Giannis can get his own shot. Bledsoe, meh. Brogdon, he can get his own shot, particularly against the Celtics. And he's like a matchup problem for the Celtics because he can handle the ball. He's a little bigger than somebody, say, like a Terry Rozier, so he's not easy to cover. Has sort of an unorthodox Paul Piercy old man game where he gets the spots and uses angles and all that stuff. You take one of those guys out, then the Bucks margin for error, it decreases. There's no doubt about it.
What are your thoughts on Giannis?
I like Giannis a lot as a player. I do. I think the Celtics have done a very good job. I still think he's going to get his points. To me, I look at it and say, it's a wash. Giannis, terrible game one. Kyrie, terrible game two. Each superstar's had a really bad game.
Who's better?
I think Kyrie he has more avenues to score. I think he's better suited to the playoffs. I think Giannis is a more impactful player for all the things that he can do. But in this series, who's the player who has an easier path to having a bigger impact on the series? It's Kyrie, because if he makes the outside shots. But I'll tell you, it's not a coincidence. Like, game two, Kyrie had a bad night, no question about it. But some of that stuff that happened was not coincidental because it happened during the regular season against the Bucks. The Bucks do a really good job of defending Kyrie when he gets in the lane and tries to attack the rim. And then Kyrie shot like 39% against those guys in the regular season, and it was because they did a really great job at contesting him around the rim. So just as the Celtics defend Giannis better than most, the Bucks defend Kyrie better than most.
Yeah, and that happened in game one. They didn't. They didn't defend the paint. No, you know, because again, I looked up some of this before the series started. The Celtics win this year. Kyrie played well. In the two losses, he did not. And also, Budenholzer did a good job on Isaiah Thomas when he was with Atlanta. So he knows where sort of the head of the snake is, right? And not that it's that hard to figure out with this team. But to me, the Celtics, if Milwaukee takes away the paint, then the Celtics turn into a three-point team, and we all know how that can go.
Well, Tatum, I mean, to me, tonight's about Tatum. You know, he was really good in the series last year. He had three 20-point games and a 19-point game. He's been a ghost. I mean, you're shooting 23.5% from the field. You're averaging 4.5 points a game. He needs to show up because just as I talked about Bucks guys who can get their own shot, well, Jason Tatum can get his own shot against anybody. And he's a real difference maker in this series if he gets going. The Bucks have no answer for Al Horford. They never have. If Kyrie does his thing, there you go. Jaylen Brown's been pretty good. Now you throw Jason Tatum in there, the whole thing tips towards the Celtics.
Chris Gasper, the Boston Globe, on the Celtics tonight and the Bucks. Where are you on Kyrie Irving right now?
In terms of?
In terms of just overall. How do you feel about him?
Still think he's leaving?
If you're a Celtics fan, or we're all in on Kyrie. Yeah. Do you think anything's changed with his future here? How that impacts now? Just where are you on Kyrie?
Yeah, I mean, I still want him on my team. I still want him as the leader in my team. I still will say to you guys what I said to you, though, months ago. This playoff run, they're playing to keep Kyrie. Do you think he's going to stay if they get bounced in the second round in six games by the Milwaukee Bucks?
I don't.
No.
I don't either. So I think this playoff run is not just about them reaching their potential and being the team we all thought they would be. It's one last sales pitch to Kyrie. What's the final feeling he has about playing for the Boston Celtics and playing with this group? Is it the same feeling he had when he showed up here and sat next to Gordon Hayward? And, he was sort of saying, it's about to be crazy, G, the whole thing. Is it that? Is it that excitement? Or is it sort of this resignation that I can't reach these guys? They don't listen to me. They don't have what it takes. They want to do their own thing. They're not going to follow me. I'm going to go somewhere else where I'll get my due, and sort of it won't be this hard to lead. So what is the final thought? It goes back. It's so funny, too. It all comes back. You guys always tease me about Brady. But to listen to what Brady said last night on Jimmy Kimmel about how much the team appreciates that he takes less versus what he said at the Milken Institute last year, it's the same thing. What changed?
They won.
It's the same thing with Kyrie. So if they win, as I always say, winning is the ultimate deodorant. It won't matter what stinks and what happens, personality conflicts. If they win, if they get to the finals, then I think he'll be compelled to stay. If they lose in the second round, I think that's a pretty big message that this isn't the place for me.
If he were to leave, who do you think the leader is to get him?
The Knicks.
You do think the Knicks. Yeah. So you don't buy into this Brooklyn theory that's floating around out there.
From Jared Dudley? Well, first of all, Jared Dudley said they'd get a
meeting. No, not from Jared Dudley. I think even people...
Maz has heard some rumblings.
Yeah, I think people in the Celtics organization...
Let's just put this on the table now.
Yeah, feel that...
I'd feel more comfortable if this were coming from Jimmy, but go ahead.
Jimmy, you want to say it? We can have Jimmy say it. I think there are some whispers in the Celtics organization that suggest they are more concerned about Kyrie going to Brooklyn than they are the Knicks.
See, that's interesting to me. And look, I don't know Kyrie, so I mean, he is somebody who's a little bit of a contrarian. So maybe it's like, I'm going to go to New York, but not the team you think. Kenny Atkinson's done a really good job there. He's a good coach. They have a good program. But they have like a backlog of guards.
That's what I said. I don't know how it works with
Spencer Dinwiddie, D'Angelo Russell. I don't really see how that. I mean, Jared Allen's a good big. And if you're going to go to New York, why would you go to like the number two team? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Like, well, the rationale would be, I mean, Kyrie.
It's like, I'm going to L.A., but I'm going to play for the Clippers, and I'm going to own the city. Like,
isn't that what Kawhi Leonard's going to do?
Well, Kawhi's a different cat.
Kyrie Irving's a different cat.
That's true.
So the rationale, and I'm not sure, I think he's going to New York with Durant. But the rationale that he wouldn't is that he wants the podium to himself. And I think it's just sort of clear listening after these games how obsessed he is with everything going through him and him setting the tone and him setting the tempo. And it's my job to impart to these guys how to play. And it's my, it's just me. And he's pulling all this his usual stuff. He can't do that when Durant's sitting next to him at the podium. I mean, I think he craves that moment.
That's interesting because to me, I sort of have the opposite feeling that he's like, man, this is a pain in the butt, and I just want to be me, and I'd really love to share this.
Then why
burden,
doesn't he? Because he walked
share
in,
this burden of leadership.
What? But why doesn't he? Because he has Horford can be a leader.
He doesn't respect those guys.
Not that way.
Not from a basketball standpoint.
What was it he said earlier? We really need a 14 or 15 year veteran.
Yeah,
it's like Al's sitting right there. Al was the leader last year. Do you know how much those young guys looked up to Al last year throughout the playoffs?
So they loved it. So why don't they just stick with that? And if Kyrie's just happy to fall into place, why don't you just fall into place?
Because I think it's sort of it's an NBA hierarchy.
Right,
thing.
This is what I'm talking. So ultimately you agree with me. Like, he wants the podium to himself.
I think he wants an equal, and he doesn't see Horford as an equal. But, I think he saw Hayward as a potential equal, but then the injury and everything, that's changed.
So that's, I think, and someone said it yesterday, I think it was Murray, he considers himself a prophet, And the prophet doesn't share. There's only one Messiah, man. There's only one prophet. You don't share it. And that's why he would go to Brooklyn, because it would be literally they would hand him the keys to the franchise and it'd be his podium.
But it's the Nets. I mean, it's
all those hipsters, though. You'd probably be in heaven there.
How did it work out for Darren Williams? It's the number two team. If you're going to be in New York, as bad an owner as Dolan is, and I know his shareholders are trying to get him out now and all this other crazy stuff, but it's like the Knicks, they're the team. Why would you want to be with the background team? Unless he feels like. Now, this would be the ultimate thing. This would show a lot of confidence. I can flip it in New York. If I'm on the Nets, then the Nets are the team.
Oh, yeah, I think he believes that. I mean, I like Murray the Prophet.
That's bold.
No, he's basketball Confucius. All right, there's some basketball thoughts. We're going to take some Celtics calls with Gasper right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
King Sense of Boston Sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do you think Kyrie's staying, or do you think he's going?
I would bet on Kyrie staying.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I think all indications the past couple months are that he's absolutely going to consider, you know, a team like New York. I think that'll be in consideration for Kyrie, but I think when it comes down to it, he's going to look at his situation based off what I heard and stay in Boston. And I would also bet on Boston being at the top of the list for Anthony Davis too. And I think if you're Kyrie Irving, it would take a lot of balls to leave a championship contending team already, never mind a team that could also add Anthony Davis, a friend of his in the league, and also a tremendous player as well. I would be surprised if Kyrie left, though he's at least going to consider it and going elsewhere.
Sorry, Kevin, did you feel that way when you wrote that story a couple months ago, and have you been disabused of that notion, or have you felt that way the whole way? Because, again, the tone of your story, and it wasn't you were hardly the only one, but the tone of your story is that this isn't good, this isn't working out, so has something changed in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think since then, nothing's really changed in regards to Kyrie. I would say maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks before that story, when was that, in February, that they were having all these issues, January and February. The couple of weeks before that, it was more like Kyrie's probably going to consider other destinations, and I don't think that's changed. I think he's going to consider the Knicks. I think he's going to consider going to what is home for him. But I think when it comes down to it, I have a hard time foreseeing him leaving the Celtics.
We didn't follow up with Kevin O'Connor the other day. What if they get smoked in the second round? So that's Gasper's point. To your calls as promised. Let's grab Chris in Bridgewater first. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, how you doing? I just want to let everybody know the Garden's going to be electric tonight. The Seas are going to blow out Milwaukee. They just entered the beam in playoff mode. It's over for them, season six.
Okay, Chris.
Well, first of all, I want Murray to comment on him calling Boston the Bean. How do you feel about that, Jim?
That's not a real Bostonian. Because no one would ever call it that.
I agree. Let's grab George on line four. He's calling from the hall. He's actually standing right there. Hey. He let me know this when as I was on my way back from the bathroom.
What's up,
hi, George.
How you guys doing?
How you doing, man?
I got a take on Kyrie. I think I agree with Chris. There's a lot of pressure on him tonight. I think that he's going to go off tonight or big game. And I also think that this is big. This series is big for him. I agree. They're not gonna have a chance of re-signing him if they get out in the second round. They need to go far. So I think that
George, come on up here, and you can come up to the glass just for a little bit because this is kind of an unusual experience. Do you agree, Chris, that this is yeah? That's George. Okay, George. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Take it easy, buddy.
Oh, you're in a generous mood today.
Yeah.
That Bruins win did.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Do you think that there's more pressure on Kyrie after the Jackie Mack story today? I mean, I read the Jackie Mack story, and you know what? Like many of Kyrie's quotes, I'm sort of like, what was it? Like, I don't know. I'm confused. Is it good or is it bad? You know, sort of in the middle. Like, I don't quite get it. You know,
Jackie's story or Kyrie's comments?
Well, I mean, Kyrie's comments in there.
Yeah.
And the whole thing. Like, is the story saying he's unhappy here and there's trouble, or that?
I think the story is
they figure it all out. He's good to go. Like, it was really sort of,
I think the story sort of validated all the things that we had thought and said sort of all along throughout the season. And it was like, they're in a good place now. They weren't before. They're in a good place now, but who knows how long it will last. That was the vibe that I got from the story. You know, that they sort of, you know, it's like a weather vane. They look up there. And like I joked earlier in the year, in one of my columns, I was like, you know, Kyrie mood ring not included. Like, that's kind of like the team. Like, they're kind of like,
so,
how's he doing? Like, how's he feeling? You know? They're like, now it's all good. But I think everybody in that organization and on that team is aware, like, it could shift.
We debated this a couple weeks ago. I think there is pressure on Kyrie because when he says all that he said during the regular season doesn't matter, seeding doesn't matter, home court doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Why are you so confident? Because I'm here.
Yeah.
And then you go out and you score 9 points. You know, that's a that's going to come back to bite him if that's the way the series goes. So I think there is. I think he put it on himself. I think he wants it on himself. I think that's the way it is on most of these teams. But he's in that spot.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think, you know, you look at his history as a player, he responds really well in those situations. Like, he enjoys that. He sort of enjoys being in that situation. So, yeah, he was the one who said, you know, in Chicago, you know, why is it going to be different? You know, because I'm here. So you have to sort of live up to that. He certainly did in the Pacers series, game two. I mean, he took that thing over. That was incredible. If he has that type of game tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if he did. But, yeah, is there pressure? Yeah, there's definitely pressure on him, no doubt.
And
that's what happens when it's your team. You wanted your own team. Now you got
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Here you go.
He's definitely going to have one of those nights, whether it's tonight or Monday night. I guarantee you he's going to have a night like that.
Of course he is. I mean, he's too good.
And he's almost set it up. Like, you know, with the so bad in game two, it's just the natural NBA, you know, back and forth that it's coming. I mean, I think I'm convinced of it.
So, again, though, to me, it comes down to the sustainability of it. Like, you know, you can play great in flashes. Lots of guys can do that. But can you keep going and keep carrying? There aren't many guys in the league that can do it. I mean, there's a handful. He might be one of them. So but he's put himself on the spot now. And again, the next round is going to be similar. They're going to be on the road. Toronto, I think, will be a tougher pull than Philly if they were to get there. You know, and if they were to get Philly.
How do you feel about Philly-Toronto, Chris?
So, you know, this is going to sound weird. I'm going to say I would not be surprised if Toronto won the next four games. Because Philly's the type of team that gets overconfident like that. And they're a younger team. And I've been stupefied by how poor the Raptors' bench has played. Because that, to me, is their advantage in that series. I mean, do you see some of the guys that come off the Sixers' bench? You know, to sort of, you know, pull a Felger, what's a Mike Scott?
Craig Monroe went off
in one
of these
games.
Some
of the guys coming off that bench, it's like, so that's a really top-heavy team, the Sixers, and it's a top-heavy team. Obviously, they went out and got more shooting with Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler, but there's a non-shooter, a huge non-shooter in that lineup, which is obviously Ben Simmons. So, again, margin for error, not the same. I can't figure out what's up with Kyle Lowry. I know he didn't have a great year, but he has to be better than this in the playoffs. And
he's
then
a doofus.
Their bench, you know, with guys like Van Vliet, like that bench should be better. That's where they should be killing the 76ers is bench points, and it hasn't happened. So I think that series is going to turn, and I also think the 76ers are just the team that would be like, well, we got this wrapped up now after like a 2-1 situation and sort of, you know, relax and then get smoked four in a row.
You know exactly what's wrong with Kyle Lowry. Take a good look at him.
Heavy.
He's huge. I'm not joking.
No, I know.
He's fat. He's huge. He's gigantic.
You know, Toronto's a fun town, man.
Oh, yeah.
And you saw him go for that nutmeg move on Tobias Harris the other night, right?
Yes.
In crunch time. Like, what are you doing?
Well, Maz, you're about to say, if the Celtics get the Sixers, you're about to say?
Yeah, if they get the Sixers, they can't lose to Philly.
No way.
They can't lose to Philly, home court or not.
They won't.
You know, Celtics-Sixers is like Bruins-Maple Leafs. One team owns the other
team.
Yes,
correct. Agreed. Know? Chris in the car with a thought on tonight's Celtics game. Chris, go ahead. You're up next. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Resilient. Bruins totally agree. Totally agree. But what bothers me is I almost want the Celtics to lose tonight. Are they resilient to come back? And Felger, you said maybe not. And Gasper, I don't know where you're. Are they resilient if they go down? Thanks,
guys.
Okay, so I just think it's hard to determine when you're at home in the playoffs. The percentages are so high for the home team that it's sort of hard to tell. I you know, resilient would be, you know, being down 3-2 and winning in Milwaukee. So, I mean, like, it's just hard to tell. If they come here and sweep, I'll give them some resilience. Yeah, some. But they should. It's sort of holding serve, right?
At home?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about what I'm saying is they haven't faced any of it yet. I'm just saying they haven't been behind. They haven't lost control of a series.
Are they
yet.
Facing it now?
No. Not
I think
yet.
There's a little bit for them. Yeah, relative. I mean, look, it's all relative. But again, I mean, wouldn't you say dropping that game, getting blown out, having your best player have his worst playoff game ever, and losing your first game of the playoffs? I mean, they had only won in the playoffs up until that point.
No.
They hadn't even lost a game.
No.
So how do you respond to a loss? And what is a – wouldn't you say – like, the expectation tonight is that they're going to win. They need to win. They should win.
Yes.
How do you respond to that?
Okay. So, but again, if they lose tonight, then we'll find out. Like, I didn't expect them to come back 2-0. And you know what? Neither did they. Because if they did, they would have played better in game two. They didn't want that game. There wasn't the same level of commitment on the defensive end in that game as there was in game one. And Kyrie, I thought, wasn't as engaged. And again, he's a veteran guy. So in his mind, he's probably saying the officials aren't giving us this game either way. I'm not going to break my back for it. So who the hell knows? Now, if they fall behind 2-1 at home, hell, I'll even give you tonight, if they fall behind 10 points in the second quarter and it doesn't look good, then let's find out. But until then, no, they haven't faced it yet.
More with Gasper coming up. But meanwhile, while the Bruins were playing in Columbus, in Chicago, we had a little bit of a situation. We'll talk about that after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
There's a high fly ball into right center field. Racing back Bradley. All the way back. That ball is gone.
Whoa.
A walk-off by Delmonico, and the White Sox break the Red Sox hearts tonight on a miserable night in Chicago. That's certainly how it ends.
What a backbreaker. What was this pitch? Is that a slider? He left a slider up out over the plate, and Delmonico got on it just out of the reach of Jackie. Two of them are in the same spot tonight. Jackie sizes it up, goes for the leap and the catch, and it's just out of his reach. Three-run bomb. That air by Devers really broke their back, and they took advantage of it.
Yes, they did. 6-4, the final score. A shocker. TC here in Chicago.
So that's what happened last night while you were watching the Bruins. Red Sox up 4-3. I said 2 runs earlier. It was a 1-run lead. They were up 4-3. In the 9th inning, Devers, was it 1 out? I think it was a 1-out error.
1 out, bases empty. Yep.
1 out, bases empty. Error from Devers. Runner gets to first base. There was another single in there, I think.
Yeah,
right?
It was a single down the line, opposite field single down. Who was that batter? I can't remember that guy's name.
I just remember Delmonico hit the home run.
It was a left-handed batter. He went opposite field down the line. I mean, like, for the guy who wasn't a fat load, it would have been a double.
Okay.
Know? It was like a clean hit.
And then Brazier gives up a 3-run homer to end the game. Chris, I had been reading in your paper how the Red Sox had turned a corner, and there were clear signs that things were looking up. So your thoughts on that? Was that
I was guilty of that after the Tampa series, and I know Alex Spear wrote something this week, a couple of maybe false starts there. So I actually stayed up for this game. I was watching, and I was like, you know what, they're probably going to win, but let me just watch this. And it's not often these days that I get, like, angry like I used to, you know, when I was, like, a real sports fan.
Because they made you look like a jackass.
This made me angry.
Yeah, I've been there. I'm not mocking you. It's happened to me. I know.
No, this made me angry.
It gets you mad.
I was, like, legitimately angry about this. Like, how do you lose this game? And, you know, it wasn't just – to me, and I said this in the email exchange, like, this is an alarming loss, and you don't want to overreact to one loss like maybe I did to the sweep in Tampa, and maybe Alex did a little to the sweep against the A's. But that's the type of loss – that shakes a team's confidence, and that's the type of game. Bad teams lose that game. Good teams don't lose that game against the Chicago White Sox, who I know they're like a game under 500, but they stink. That whole division outside of Minnesota and Cleveland's had injury issues, stinks. And this is a time for the Red Sox to make some hay here. You know, you get 4 against the White Sox, 3 against the Orioles, and then you come back home 3 against the Mariners, who, after that really hot start, which I know would die down, now have lost 4 straight, and that's a team that really was built to reset, to tank, essentially. So now you can make some hay here, you know, and after that it's 2 with Colorado, and then you have to play Houston. So you got to get your act together. You can't keep giving away these games. And it wasn't just what happened in the 9th with Brazier. How about, you know, 10 guys left on base and 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position? I mean, that's a terrible loss.
I'm going to say, it's not just the fact they don't have a closer and they're not ready closer through a bad pitch. That's a team loss, you think?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you feel, Maz, but the defense of Devers, like, I've seen enough. Like, enough with this. 9 errors, second most in the majors. Only Tim Beckham with Seattle has more. And I keep hearing people say, oh, we know, and I know he's young, but they say, you know, well, you have to live with his defense. You can carry his bat. No home runs and 109 at-bats? I have to carry that? I mean, you know, that to me, that's like Zhu Weilin-ish. in terms of where's the power? There's no power from him. He has 10 runs batted in. Where's the difference making from him? I mean, if the defense is going to be that bad, then he needs to come out of the game like Chavis is. At least Chavis hits. Extra base hits. He needs to come out of the game, Devers does, at the end, if that's what they're going to do.
All right, this is a level of negativity that befits the baseball reporters.
Yeah, well, look, again, Chris, stick around. We'll have you on again at 6 o'clock.
Okay. No, I'm like, this made me angry. This was like old school Red Sox fan anger. Like, this was a disgusting loss.
It should have disgusted you. Yeah, no, really, because, again, you know, they win the three-game series, right? They
sweep.
Have a good series against Oakland. And
who
think,
was scuffling coming in, by
right,
the way.
So they, but kick them when they're down. That's fine. I'll take it. Like, you know, you can build a little momentum, and then you go in there and blow that game. Like, this is, again, this is what happens when you start to go bad. Then you start spinning your wheels because other stuff goes bad when the initial stuff goes right. You start pitching, you don't hit. Then you get a lead, and your starters are doing better, and your bullpen craps out. It's always something. It's a dangerous place to be.
Can I give you one more that I didn't realize because I haven't been following it? But you know who's turned into a player? Yoan Moncada.
Oh, yeah. No, he's had a good year so far.
Six bombs, 20 RBI. His OPS is 894. He's hitting 299. He's on pace for 34-112.
Yeah.
What if Yoan Moncada turns into an all-star, like a legit elite bat? Let me ask you right now. Would you have won this trade?
Yeah, you got a title out of it.
Well, it depends. No, there's a chance you'll lose the trade. Well,
but let me say, before you go on, what did Chris Sale contribute to the title?
He had that awesome strikeout that made Machado look like a fool at the end.
Well, he got the last out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. For your run, he made two starts at the end of the regular season,
until he went bad and had the shoulder issue, he was having a hell of a season.
Okay, correct.
Help you get to 100. You got to get in. He helped you get to 108 wins in home field.
I'm just saying it's
No, there's a chance they lose this trade.
It's not like he Curt Schilling'd you. You know, he was a piece that, you know, threw five or six innings and a couple of starts in the postseason and then had a signature strikeout. You were up 4 or 5 runs in the ninth inning in game 5. That was like the Bobby Orr goal. Like, you know, really an overrated moment. I mean, you were going to win either way. So it's like, I don't know. I like to do this now because, you know, I mean, everyone wants to declare winners
or
losers.
Specialty. Yeah.
No. So
Kyrie
listen.
Irving, Chris,
master
Chris
of the dark
Sale.
Arts over
well,
here.
Especially if Sale craps out with the shoulder and everything else.
I was just going to say if.
But now ask me if I'd do it again.
Would you do it again?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, just like the Kyrie trade, even if you lost it.
Yeah. I mean, you haven't lost that one yet.
And they haven't, and the Sox haven't lost this yet. These are both yet to be determined. So I'm not saying you lost the Kyrie trade. I'm just saying... You guys, if this guy turns out to be a perennial all-star 3,100 guy and is a power bat for a decade, and that's what he turns out to be, and you get one title out of Sale, and he wasn't really that crucial in it, I'm sorry, you didn't win the trade. I mean, just we got to wait to see it play out.
I was way more annoyed when you did this with the Celtics, and maybe it's because I like... maybe it's somehow this is digging into my Red Sox negativity.
I just gave you some material there. Moncada, out of nowhere. I almost say out of nowhere. He's a high prospect, but Danny sucked the first couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Strikeout numbers have been ridiculous. I mean, he could barely make contact the last two seasons.
Yeah, and no, he's played better this year. The large majority of his damage has come from the left side of the plate. He still sucks right-handed, and I don't know enough about the defense because when he was here, he was a butcher. He was worse than Devers.
Okay, we will say goodbye to Gasper after one more full segment of your phone calls to do a quick Patriots take for you as well, and that's what's happening here on Agenda Free Friday. Stick around.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
You see that window?
Yeah.
You think you could throw the football through that window?
Yeah.
Let's see.
You got this, Tom. All right.
Very well done.
Thanks.
That was impressive.
Whoa.
Oh. Oh, no.
Kimmel.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you do that?
Do you live here?
You know I live here.
That was Tom Brady on Jimmy Kimmel last night. Watching NBC Sports Boston, you actually saw the visual chucking it through Matt Damon's window. Cutesy, cutesy stuff. Brady looks good. Looks like he's
not as gaunt.
Yeah, and the hair is nice and full.
Yeah, see, now you're reciprocating from when he complimented your hair all those years back.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
Room.
True story.
You guys got a mutual thing going.
Said to me one day, you're growing your hair out. I like what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
That's true. I thought he ran his fingers through it.
He did not run his fingers through it. That did not happen.
I always thought that was the genesis of the whole question McGinnis asked you.
No. Tom just, he liked what I was doing with my hair at one point in time. He did. So, Tom, it's fair. Reciprocation. I like it. Nice, full, whatever he's got going on up there. He looks good. He's put on a little bit of weight.
Yeah, he's eating the bonbons again.
He's not fat. He's bulked up, man.
Well, we don't know.
He does. I agree. He looks a little more muscular, thicker.
He's got a shirt on, so we don't know where, how it rides, but anyway, that's how he looked.
Sorry, it seems like you're having a moment there, Felger.
No, I'm sorry. I had something in my throat.
What's your point?
No, I was clearing my throat. It must be the pollen.
So then he gets on set and he has his interview with Kimmel, and this was just sort of interesting. Go ahead, play this exchange, Jim.
You should be the highest paid player in football, but you're not the highest paid player because you don't demand that. I think you're like 18th or 20th.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be the highest paid guy?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's usually when I want to answer a question. I always say, like, that's a good question. But I think the thing I've always felt for me in my life, winning has been a priority. And my wife makes a lot of money, so.
I see. Oh, good. That's good. That works out well.
I'm a little smarter than you think. It's a salary cap. Everyone, you can only spend so much. And the more that, one guy gets is less for others. And I think for a competitive advantage standpoint, I'd like to, get a lot of good players
around me. I hope the Patriots appreciate that you do that. I really do. Yeah, I mean,
they do.
I know.
Woo, okay. Is Brady just inviting the Patriots to bend him over again? I mean, really? I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, do you think Brady's going to drive a hard bargain here?
I still don't think he's playing. All I ever said was
to publicly acknowledge, even if it was written for him, even if it was a gag, for him to publicly say the words, my wife makes a lot of money.
Yeah, makes a lot of money.
I mean, that's just inviting the crafts to once again give him a good porking.
Yeah, my guess is there's a wink, wink, nod, nod understanding there. And that, if he plays for this amount this year, and I know what the cap number is, but I'm talking about the actual salary.
I'm telling you again, whatever his new contract is, it ain't going to be good for him. It ain't going to be a player-friendly deal.
Okay, so I'm telling you, he's getting a significant raise. I don't know what that number is, but I'm not changing that. I'm not changing my mind.
Is that an informed opinion? Do you have people on the inside there, too?
I'm just telling you, he's going to get a decent raise.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we're going to look at it and go, he once again got porked.
Well, yeah, but I mean, both could be true, right? I mean, he could get a decent raise, and you could say, oh, my God, he's making less than insert quarterback here. Like, he's not going to get Russell Wilson money. He doesn't care about that. He never has. I always remember someone in his camp saying to me, there's no place in the Hall of Fame for contracts.
So Russell Wilson isn't a comp, but Ben Roethlisberger is.
Okay.
And isn't Ben Roethlisberger $30 million? Didn't he just sign there?
Yeah, he did. He got a big number. And
they cleared out like half their team to be able to play.
But I'm just telling you that's a fair – Russell Wilson's 10 years younger. So
sure.
It's
a fair point.
Or 15 years younger, for crying out loud. Drew Brees makes 25. Roethlisberger, I think, is 30. So Brady should be in that range. Do you think he will be?
No.
I don't think he will. That's a gronking. That's a porking.
Okay, but let's say he gets to 20. Would you be surprised by that?
No, but that's a porking. That's my point.
Okay. Well, so I just said I.
That's getting porked.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a significant raise.
But to be way under Ben Roethlisberger or Drew Brees is a exceedingly friendly deal for the team.
So, there are only a few times I think he's really cared about this. And you know what I would say? At the end of the day, here's what my message to him would be. That's great. Your wife is rich. But what about the other guys on the team when they turn around and use your contract as a cudgel to keep the payment down for all your teammates? Because that's what happens, and that's what has happened over the years. And I was a little surprised to hear him say this. I think it's good because he feels appreciated again. The contrast to last offseason could be any more different than when he was like, I plead the fifth with Jim Gray. By the way, how jealous do you think Jim Gray was of that?
Oh, my God. He was standing off stage.
I know Tom.
Grinding something.
I don't know Jimmy. How did I lose out on this? You son of a bitch.
Jim Gray was somewhere in the background. He pretty probably was.
I mean, that's way better than any of the stuff sponsored by Macy's, like what he was talking about. He was way more free-flowing, right?
I know Ben. And I also know Matt Damon, but I don't know Jimmy, so I lost out on this interview. Damn you, Tom.
All right, so there's a little Brady thought for you. Are you surprised the deal's not done yet?
I am, but, you know, I have to be honest with you. I'm going to be completely honest. I keep getting conflicting information on whether they can do it or not.
Right.
And I've tried multiple times with multiple people.
So Beatle said
to
today.
To get a straight answer.
Beatle and Zoe said today that they can redo it now before August 9th. They can redo it now, but they can't add new money to 2019's, you know, that year. So.
What the heck does that? Oh, so basically you can do an extension.
You
can
do an extension with any new money coming in 2020.
Yeah, but you can't do a renegotiation.
Right.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah, so that I think that's what they're saying. After August 9th or whatever that date is, they can do it.
But here's what I would say to that. That does make a lot of sense. But what's the advantage for the Patriots? Because if you can't change his cap number for this year, then what's the point?
Right, you would just wait till August
9th. Yeah, just wait. I mean, there's no reason. If you can't change his – you don't want to lock in his cap number. The whole point of doing the deal from their standpoint is changing his cap number and making it more palatable.
Your thoughts on what they did at quarterback at the draft? We haven't spoken since.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I think they took a flyer on Stidham. I mean, I think he's your classic looks the part, can't play guy. Like, you know, like Ryan Tannehill 2.0.
Looks the part, can't play guy.
Yeah, he's your classic, like, he has all the components. He should have been a difference maker for Auburn. And I get it. The system wasn't great for him. And the offensive line wasn't great, but he should have been like a Matthew Stafford. He should have been one of those guys that elevated that team because he has that type of talent. But it didn't happen. And he even admitted, you know, when he was in meetings with the Patriots and other teams, that he would sort of point out decisions he made that were not the right decisions and that he got sped up at times last year because he was worried about getting hit. I think he's a classic case of a guy who has all the components, but it just doesn't come together. But why not take a flyer on him? I mean, he couldn't be any worse than Ryan Mallett. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it does all come together. There are guys like that. Like Terrell Davis, I always hated him for this petty reason as a huge college football fan. He sucked in college. He sucked at Georgia. And I'm like, if you weren't good at Georgia, why are you good in the pros? He just didn't put it together. And so maybe Stidham will put it together in the pros with the Patriots.
So, but this isn't Garoppolo. It's not like they targeted the guy. This is the guy.
No. I mean, I honestly thought they should have taken Will Greer. I mean, I didn't like that Damian Harris pick at 87 with the running back. I would have taken Will Greer there or traded back if you're seriously looking for a Brady replacement. But why not take a flyer on Stidham? He has a ton of talent. Josh McDaniels is sort of the, you know, the quarterback whisperer guy. Maybe he can get the – I mean, Josh McDaniels once got the most out of Kyle Orton. So maybe he can get it out of this kid. I don't know.
All right. Do we have a Murray and Gasper extravaganza tomorrow?
We do. 11 and 2. We'll be talking about what are some stylish, budget-friendly looks for the summer. As we'll have. Now, I'm sure we'll be Celtics heavy, considering how tonight will play out.
I know some of your style. You have a couple of coasts that aren't exactly cheap.
We'll also be talking about Chris Sale, who remains winless this season.
Little did we know that the G and GQ stood for Gasper.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, this guy over here, you know, man of the people. Yeah, check his closet too.
I've seen some boots that must cost a little bit.
Yeah, how about one of his winter coats?
Oh yes,
which he wears constantly. Yeah,
because you have the studio with 10 degrees.
That's a mortgage payment and. And he gets a deal on some of the stuff, too, the, like, I'm Jim Murray deal.
Okay, well, that last minute's really meant for the podcast. We're going to move on now. All right, guys.
So the guy who pressed somebody against the glass because the Bruins won last night.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. No commercials, an update, final hour. We'll get to your calls, I promise.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.